Hello and welcome to the program. We're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. If you have your Bible ready, it would be a good thing. Reading in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, Paul the Apostle, you remember, has had to leave Thessalonica. Him and Silas, there was a riot there. Their lives were in danger. And now he's writing back, and he's not only writing back, but he's going to send Timothy back there to see what's going on. And we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Paul goes on to say in verse 4, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." We'll look at that in a moment, but before we do, listen to this very beautiful hymn, "On the Hill Far Away Stood an Old Rugged Cross."
On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. Despised by the world as a wondrous attraction for me, for the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to bear it to dark Calvary. In the rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For 'twas on that old cross Jesus suffered and died to pardon and sanctify.
To the old rugged
rugged cross, I will ever be true. It's shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory
verses again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 1, Paul said, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto." Verse 4, he said, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain." Now, he sent Timothy. Paul refers to Timothy as his own son in the faith, 1 Timothy 1:2. He had led Timothy to the Lord, and he joined up with Paul probably in his late teenage years or early 20s. He would eventually become the pastor of the church at Ephesus, and he's sent here to establish them and to comfort them. Notice it says, "concerning your faith," verse number 3. "When I could no longer forbear," he says in verse number 5, "I sent to know your faith." Now, we've said before, this faith here doesn't mean trust. It means what you believe. Now, if you really believe, you're going to trust, obviously. But only 5 times out of about 245 times does the word mean trust. It means what we believe. And so he says, "I sent Timothy to comfort you concerning what you believe." And he said, I could no longer forbear, so I sent to know what you believe. Do you still believe what you used to believe when we first started the church? They've been under a lot of persecution. In verse number 6, he says, "But now when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity or love, and that ye have good remembrance of us, always desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith." Now, notice again here in verse number 6, he said we got good tidings concerning their faith, what they believe. And they were comforted in their afflictions because of their faith, because of what they still believe. So he said, "But now, when Timotheus came, we were very glad to get the good news concerning their faith." Then he says in verse number 8, "For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord." Now we live. He said in verse 9, "For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day, praying exceedingly that we would see your faith and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. You haven't arrived yet. They're great Christians. They're standing up to the persecution. But Paul said, well, I was hoping we could come, and face to face we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Verse 11, he said, now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and to abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Now, he says here, the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another. Well, they had it pretty good there as far as loving one another is concerned, and he mentions that, but he said you can abound in that more. But he goes on to say, and toward all men, toward all men. How about those in 1 Thessalonians 1:6 who were causing much affliction? It's one thing to love one another. It's another thing to love our enemies like Jesus loved his enemies. Then he said here, in verse number 13, that they might be unblameableness in holiness. Holiness, simply put, is being separated from anything that God would be separated from. And so we see here, first of all, in verse number 12, that they increase in and abound in love one toward another. He said in 1 Thessalonians 4:9, but as touching brotherly love, ye need not that I write unto you. But he said you could abound more. And then he said toward all men, loving them as well. I think we have a lot to work on there. Then we get to chapter 4. Paul says, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so ye would abound more and more. Now, it's very interesting. He says to these good living Christians back there, you ought to walk and to please God and to abound more and more. When it comes to walking the Christian life and to pleasing God, he said in Ephesians 5:10 that we are to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Now, the reason that they need to do this more and more is that we are constantly facing new issues. When I was first saved back in 1955, the issues that we were confronted with then and the issues that we are confronted with today have very little in common. We are further and further in this world into the cesspool of immorality. There's all kinds of issues amongst us as fundamentalists on how we should do the things the Word of God tells us to do and how we need to be proving what is acceptable unto the Lord in this age of apostasy that we're living in today. Paul goes on to say in verse 2 of chapter 4, for ye know what commandments we gave unto you by the Lord Jesus. A commandment is an authoritative order. And he said, we gave you these commandments. But keep in mind, Paul the apostle, or a pastor today, if he's doing God's work, God's way, he is simply a messenger of God. You look back in 1 Samuel 8 and verse number 7, when they wouldn't listen to Samuel, and God said, they have not rejected thee, but they have rejected me, that I should not reign over them. Talking about God's people. And so Paul is warning these people here at Thessalonica, and he says, you know what commandments, what authoritative orders we have given unto you, but we're just a messenger. We're here to tell you what the Lord wants, he says in verse number 2. Again, in Samuel's day, they didn't reject Samuel. They rejected God. Paul goes on to say in verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, he gets into fornication and concupiscence, which is to do with immorality. Why is he talking about that to these good-living Christians? They didn't seem to be that kind of person. Well, the reason he's talking about it, we'll look at it in our next program. Be sure and tune in. In the meantime, here's a message and song. As we think about how we ought to walk and please God in this age of apostasy, when the issues are coming like they're coming on today, make this your prayer. Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way.
Teach Teach me thy will, O Lord. Teach me thy way. Teach me to know thy word. Teach me to pray. Whatever seems best to thee, that be my earnest plea, so that thou drawest me closer each day. Teach me thy wondrous grace, boundless and free. Lord, let thy blessed face shine upon me. Heal thou sin's every smart. Dwell thou within my heart. Grant that I never part. Savior, from thee. Teach me by pain thy power. Teach me by love. Teach me to know each hour thou art above. Teach me as seemeth best in thee to find sweet rest. Leaning upon thy breast, all doubt remove. Teach thou my lips to sing, my heart to praise. Be thou my Lord and King through Savior nigh. Teach me to